You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Frames Per Second Podcast.
In 1938, the Knights belonged to Harlem. The place to be was Club Sugar Ray's. The man to know was Quick.
Now, when you see Quick, I suggest you guys make plans to go elsewhere.
You, I ain't afraid of going up against Smalls or Calhoun.
That's because you're young.
Come on!
Full of vigor.
I work for Mr. Calhoun.
What kind of work do you do?
Whatever's required.
What would a woman that fine want in a big, fat, nasty, greasy, 12 sandwich eating? What does she want with it?
I don't know, man. She likes fat guys.
Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, Red Fox, Danny Aiello.
It's nice to meet you.
Michael Lerner, Della Reese, Jasmine Guy.
I'd like to go upstairs.
Arsenio Hall.
Oh, Quick is mine.
Gotta stop overreacting.
Overreacted?
Harlem Nights.
I thought I was the only person who slept with his guns under the pillow. Look at her little gun. Oh, look at me.
What's going on? It's your boy Nikki Duse, a.k.a. Mr. No Disrespect, and you're now tuned in to the Frames Per Second Podcast. In this episode, we will be reviewing our second black film from our Black History Month Rewatchable series titled The Blacklist. At least that's what I saw posted, so, you know, we're going to stick with it.
I like that.
We got a full cast, but not the whole cast. Nate isn't joining us on this one, but she'll join us on the later ones.
Y'all did Antoine Fisher.
Yeah, okay. We did Antoine Fisher. I'm glad we had her on that one because I needed the help with that one.
I don't think she probably more than likely won't be on the other ones. It just so happened it worked out that way that day. I was like, oh, snap, we doing that. And I knew that was like one of her favorites.
Yeah, I guess.
That worked out for y'all. Yeah, it worked out for you.
Well, this film, I think everybody should enjoy it. Harlem Nights, Eddie Murphy's directorial debut. Same as last time with Denzel with Antoine Fisher. This is actually the first. This is the first and only film that Eddie Murphy has directed.
Huh?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Really?
Say what?
He didn't do Golden Child?
Yeah, this is the only one.
This is the only one.
Really?
I don't know. I thought he did something.
And this is 1989 when this came out. So
I know what year.
So ever since then, nope.
Damn.
Yeah.
It might have just been too much work.
Wait a minute. Like, he didn't have a hand in Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah, he did.
So he didn't have a hand in like none of those Dr. Doolittle.
Probably like as executive producer, but not as a director.
Well, that wouldn't make sense for him to executive. Oh man, I guess it would.
Because he got his own production company. Because that's what this came out on.
Oh, yeah, okay. Eddie. Yep.
That's crazy.
So let's go around the room. Do y'all like the film?
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's easy, man.
Man.
It's classic.
I don't give a fuck what nobody say. This is fucking classic material. Red Fox, fucking Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy. Man, I don't think I realized it back then how
stacked the cast
how
was.
How stacked. Well, it's like I did, but didn't really.
Yeah, we
knew. Yeah, but you don't really understand.
We're older now.
Yeah, we're older now. You really
and you get to see what you saw.
Yeah.
And some of them are dead, so it feels different.
Was this an instant classic when it came out?
For me, it was.
I remember around the time that it came out. Like, we say this on reviews, like classic reviews. We didn't look at stuff as like, oh, this is a classic. It was just like, oh, yeah, this was funny. This was good or whatever. So I wouldn't be able to say like, oh, this was just like an instant classic. No, we weren't using that type of language back then.
We wasn't, but I mean, it was still.
Yeah.
Like,
it was
back,
memorable.
Was,
yeah.
Yeah, that shit, yeah. Man, that movie was. I watched this movie so many times when I was a kid.
Yeah, me too.
It was funny. My sisters put me onto this movie.
How long ago?
This was like when I was around, I think I was between 8 and 10.
Okay. And they just put like they randomly would put on like black films. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. And like and they're my sisters, so they were born in Africa too. So like they're looking at the stuff that their friends was watching in high school and stuff like that.
It's funny. So you said you call this a black film.
Yes.
Yeah. Easy, right?
Yeah.
Is this one easily like a black film?
Yeah, especially the dynamic.
Black people are villains.
Exactly. Right. I'm just saying. Right. Black people the hero, white people the villains.
I remember seeing an interview, and I can't remember what he was on, but I remember after this movie came out and it didn't like receive no type of like, you know, props. He kind of like that shit.
Yeah, because
like,
it
hurt him.
It like, got panned movie. By the critics. Yeah. Like
it was a black movie.
It got a Raspy Award for worst screenplay.
That's fucking.
He
crazy.
Got like it was like all those award shows where they give out the worst of this. He got a lot of them for screenplay and directing.
Yep.
Man, so everybody, Jasmine Guy. This shit has Jasmine Guy in it. Like this shit, man.
Which funny enough, I just found this out that she wasn't supposed to be in it. It was supposed to be somebody named Michelle Michael.
And, it sounds familiar.
Yeah, she got fired from the film.
Oh, wow.
And she accused him of sexual advances.
Oh, who, Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, he was like, man, I never had a conversation with her in private. I didn't know that at the time. I was just kind of
like, I did not have relations with that one.
Yeah.
I can see why critics panned this.
Yeah, because their main criticism was the fact that it was like slow pace, and they said lack of comedy. Actually, in the
okay, but now that's wrong. That's
yeah,
wrong.
That's
just wrong. Yeah,
they,
just
don't they don't know comedy if they say it was lack of.
But
it.
I think the thing is, there are other like The Godfather is in fast pace. So well, that critique made no sense.
But I think with this type of film, because we look at it as a black, I'm not giving them out. But I'm just saying, like, for white people or other people reviewing this, like, this is a black film, so like some of the beats don't hit the same as far as like white comedies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
So like, and the storytelling of it was a little different as far as like when you have a stacked cast of this many now legendary comedians, and even then probably too, it's like. You would think it would be like joke, or something like that. Because that's a lot how a lot
but
of white comedies.
Was,
I would.
It was, though.
I would,
not really.
I would buy that if they didn't use the word fast pace. And then to follow it up with it's not funny or there wasn't any comedy in it, it's not making sense. Because you can't say that this isn't fast paced when Goodfellas isn't fast paced.
It's not a comedy, though.
I know it's not a comedy, even though we found it funny, but that was one of the criticisms. It was like, we're just going to add this extra thing to it to further validate our criticism of this film. To come out and say, it's slow paced when you have plenty of other films in this particular genre that are slow paced as well. That I'm not rocking with that.
But
that doesn't make no sense.
What's the genre?
It's a
comedy.
Well, that's
no,
what I, was
I thought
ask
it was
you.
A crime. It's supposed to be a crime film.
Is it supposed to be a crime film?
Yeah. When I first watched this,
crime drama comedy.
Really?
Like it had a lot of those elements in it.
Exactly.
So it's kind of hard to like pinpoint what is
category.
This? Yeah.
When I first watched it, the first scene obviously is like the most famous scene, right?
Wikipedia has it as a crime comedy drama.
But
they get their own shit.
Yeah. So now it's a crime comedy drama that's not funny. So if white people don't understand our type of comedy, that's one thing. You can't tell me this shit isn't funny and white people wouldn't find it funny.
Right. The first scene.
White people ain't gonna find this funny. I'm gonna tell you what it is. I know you. Look, I can look at this from the eyes of a white critic and get exactly what they're saying. When we watch this movie, we see Red Fox on the screen. We see Eddie Murphy on the screen. We see Richard Pryor on the screen. When a lot of these white critics watch this movie, all they see is a bunch of black people.
But they like them too, though.
Who?
They liked Red Fox and Richard Pryor.
White people didn't like them the way we like them. Those dudes were heroes. Yeah, think about what Richard Pryor was talking about back then.
Yeah, I know.
It wasn't good for white people.
Yeah, but sometimes white people find that shit funny, though.
They, like, I think they do more so, like, later. I think back then they probably did.
Eddie Murphy,
Eddie Murphy was the only one that was safe.
But
Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall. Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, those roles, as far as the ones that Richard Pryor and Red Fox did, like, based on what made them famous in white America, like Sanford and Son, and then Richard Pryor, obviously, with all his stuff, it's like they were more, like, they weren't as funny in this as in those other roles. Like Richard Pryor, this is probably the most serious I've seen him in a film.
It was. Right.
Like
out of all this stuff,
he barely said any jokes. And Red Fox, he had his jokes, but he was barely in the movie.
Him and
like,
Della Reese was like,
single time Red Fox was on the screen, he was cracking motherfuckers up.
Yes.
Every single
and they
time.
Said that, they said that in between shooting that he did that the whole
I believe it.
And then Robin Harris was on there, even though he wasn't talking that much, but can you imagine like Robin Harris acting the damn fool
too?
Yeah.
Robin Harris.
He was quiet though. Yeah,
another person that white people don't care about.
Now exactly. I give you Robin Harris.
This makes sense. I see why white people didn't like
this. And it was Charlie Murphy's first film too.
He didn't really say nothing either. Yeah. Him and Robin Harris.
But I'm just saying, like, if you're going with the cast, like, these are all legendary people. All-star. But like going back, like that first scene, like it plays. It's very funny. It sets up the whole movie. But from there, you kind of like. It's a high. Like you think, all right, this is gonna be a laugh out loud affair.
What was the first scene?
When the
fight?
No. He was a kid. Eddie Murphy was a kid. He's like, I told you not to have no kids around here. He ain't had that too.
He's like, take a snack tooth phone.
Now you lost.
Yeah, so like I was dying through all that, like that whole scene. And then after that it just goes into like the gangster film, you know, and then it opens up to work like 20 years later. Yeah. So that's why I feel like it had a lot of funny moments. That's why there's so many genres in this film.
Yeah, they should have went another route with the criticism. I can see if they would have took the gangster film route, like it's not like a good gangster film. Yeah. Like I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, but to say, like Ken said, say it's not funny, say it's slow paced, that's a different type of criticism that I just don't think it holds. But yeah,
it is slow paced, but it doesn't hurt.
Yeah,
it doesn't hurt it at all.
Especially if you, because it's a story that's being told. Yeah. It's not like some slapstick comedy where you're just putting things together.
Yeah. The problem was, I don't think the story was that great. That was my whole issue with the movie. I think it's funny as fuck because anytime they're talking, it's fucking hilarious. But I think the way they set the story up, where they just happen to figure out that there's this underground club, and then they want to go take the money and all that. I don't think the story was great. Now, granted, back in 1989, most of those stories weren't great. Right. They were all pretty loose. So, I mean, I'm agreeing with y'all. Like, their criticisms for 1989, they don't really hold a lot of water, but I still see why white people would say that.
And I was more interested in why Eddie wanted to do this film this way. Like, it's one thing to
like
have
a time film?
Yeah, like a period piece. Because he mentioned that he wanted to do a period piece with Richard Pryor, because that was like his idol. Mm-hmm. So, but it was like, but when you think about it, because I was thinking about life when I was watching this movie as far as Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence and then Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor, because both of these films kind of are similar to me when I look at them as far as premise, like black trauma or, like it's a lot of sad shit happening, but it's funny along the way. Because, like, when you look at it without the comedy, it's like black businesses getting run out by, you know,
I think life is America. Sadder, though.
Yeah, life is definitely more sadder. But, it's like, again, it goes off of that as well. Like,
I'll give you the Boom Boom Room.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Harlem Nights when they did that little flashback.
Exactly. Like, it reminded me of
but
that.
But, yeah, I don't think these are the same.
Yeah, I don't think this movie's sad at all.
Yeah.
Because the only person that died was Tommy. You don't really.
Yeah. Right.
We didn't really connect with him like
that. We didn't at that time.
No, this movie was just funny.
Which why his name is always, I just noticed that his name is
always Tommy whenever he's playing
in every movie.
That's funny.
Yep.
That's weird. Anyway.
What did y'all think of Della Reese's character?
Man, it's perfect.
Because for me, when I
want to hear people with guns,
nah, I got to cut you. There you go. Shoot it. Shoot my big guitar.
Because I feel like she stole.
You done it now.
My big guitar.
Right.
She stole the whole show for me. Like, she was the breakout or like the scene stealer. I know we had a bunch of other people, but for her, like, her especially her,
yeah,
and Red Fox,
Red Fox, yeah,
those back.
It's Red Fox for me,
man.
Really?
Because yeah, sure. I'm telling you, when they were in that fucking the apartment and they were arguing about that damn juice,
drink the juice, shut the fuck up.
How you drink all the juice and just leave a swallow? Well, then swallow it, shut the fuck up.
She always had me when she was like, I had my mouth watering for some juice, and now I can't.
My mouth all set up for some juice, and now I ain't got no juice.
And he called her a bitch. And then you hear the parrot in the back like,
that bitch.
That bitch.
And then he's saying all that shit like, hey, man, you really need to apologize to
me. Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. Oh, my God, man. This shit is so black, man. Well, like, this movie is
so
me, fucking black.
For me, looking at Della Reese, like, my mom loved that show Touched by an Angel. And that was my first time seeing Della Reese. It's like a Christian show.
Yeah.
It's like a super Christian show. And literally about angels helping white people.
Shout out to
Detroit. Tell me Della Reese wasn't an angel.
She was an angel.
Oh, geez.
So that was my first. I'm thinking,
so
like,
you're
she's
seeing
a,
that.
Yeah, dude, I was looking at
180.
180, 360, damn near. I'm like, wow, I've never seen Della Reese cuss this much, talk this much shit. Every scene, she talking about, kiss my ass.
Yeah.
Like,
motherfucker.
<yeah.
laughs> I would tell you to kiss my ass, but your ass super fucking blind as shit. They were like, fuck you, bitch. He had them big ass, thick ass.
Yeah,
my
that shit was funny.
Nah, what was funny, remember in the beginning, that the dude with no teeth, he was like, until this frog face looking motherfucker. He was getting cooked on the whole time. I was like, man, they just doing him wrong. But no, like, that was, I loved her character because it was a contrast for me. growing up looking at her like, man, but she's
that's crazy.
Her and Red Fox scenes, those are the best scenes in the film.
Nah,
dude.
Yeah, they killed it. They killed it, man.
I didn't realize this is also the last film Red Fox did before he died.
He passed away. Yeah, he passed away at 91.
Yep. I didn't know that.
Yep. Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. he had a TV show, and I think he had a heart attack while they were shooting that TV mm-hmm. show.
I think
and it was
right.
with him and Della Reese. Was on that show.
You don't think
it
was Sanford and Son when he was
15? No, not Sanford and Son. It was another one.
Yeah, I think he was joking. Making his comeback.
Yeah. Damn.
What, you hear Eddie, have y'all heard like Eddie Murphy talk about Richard Pryor now in interviews?
Mm-mm.
Like
nobody's
after
he's watching Eddie Murphy interviews now.
Yeah. Well, when he was doing Dolomite Is My Name, that press mm-hmm. run, he was talking about how Richard Pryor was kind of envious of him as the next up and coming
really?
Black comedian. And
oh, that's new to me.
Yeah, and as far as like,
why would he
would always really? Want to, because Eddie would he looked up to him and he was always taken aback by that because he in person I think he said that they would be cordial. But behind closed doors, he would hear like people say that he's talking about it behind
weird,
his back
man.
And stuff like that. I'll send y'all some clips about it just from that premise. But
he did that recently.
Yeah, recently.
That
like
is
he.
Weird.
What's the point?
He was. I don't. I think the
man's dead. What's the point?
Well, I think he was also talking about like I think the conversation is more about black comedians helping out black comedians because a lot of people when it comes to Eddie Murphy, they always talk about how he put on a lot of different comedians.
Man.
And like Richard Pryor, I think he was like, I wish he would have done that for me growing mm-hmm. like, even though it looked, because this movie, I'm like, how does that even make sense? He did a whole movie with you. Mm-hmm. But hearing about it from his perspective, it was like, damn, like, so he kind of was like, kind of like how they talk about Bill Cosby a little bit too, as far as like, he didn't really embrace all the youth
so
that was
kinda
coming.
So it's kind of like Tyler Perry, Spike Lee.
Yeah.
In a sense.
So, and I was, I didn't know if y'all heard about this, because I was, mm-hmm. my question was like, did that make y'all, does that make you look at this film differently
a little bit?
No, not me.
A little bit, because for me, it was like, when you watch it, it seems like they had such good chemistry. Yeah, I thought they were cool in real life.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt the film for me. It's just, right. I look at it a little bit different, because I thought this whole time that they were friends.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
I don't think
weird.
I ever saw it like that.
That they were homies?
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw it as they were homies, because like you said, Richard Pryor's character was just different. He was a lot more serious, and I just didn't, it just seemed like in a movie like this, they would have had a different type of chemistry of like being funny together.
See, I thought it was more so like Eddie Murphy put him in that role because it was like you're like a father figure,
right? Mm.
So you're gonna actually be my father in this movie. Mm-hmm. So that's why I thought they had like a tight relationship. So that's interesting to hear that.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor didn't really like each other like that.
How often do y'all watch this? Like it like.
I mean, if it's on TV or something, I'm gonna watch it.
Okay.
I mean, I own it on I own a physical copy of it, but like, yeah, if it's on, whenever it's on TV or something.
Yeah, I can't even tell you how many times I've watched it.
Yeah, I can't either. But like, I always watch it.
It's just one of those ones, and that's what I like about this movie. It's like one of those movies you could just put on.
Yeah.
You're not gonna be spoiled by anything or anything. Like, you're just gonna just put it on if you want to see a scene that you like, or you know. Yeah, this is definitely one of those type of movies. Like,
so is this like a top five black comedy for y'all? Or
again, I just never rank. I never even bothered to rank it. I just know I enjoy it. I can watch it anytime.
So like, well, I mean, like, if for a recommendation, like if someone was like, what's like some of the best black film in comedy, you would put this on that list?
Yeah, I probably would.
I wouldn't.
You probably wouldn't?
Not in the top five list. No.
Hmm.
Nah, there's shit.
Why is that?
What's for?
Because this isn't really. I mean, it's a comedy and it's a drama.
It's not pure comedy.
And there's some parts that are funny, but I think other movies are funnier.
Black.
Yeah, if we're talking about black comedies, shit.
You got two. Give me two.
Say again.
Give me two.
I'm gonna get you suckers funnier than this. Shit, it is
for
me.
Yeah, I think it is.
It is for me.
I think it might be.
I'm going to get you suckers funnier than me.
Still today?
Yes.
Those still hit?
Those dumbass jokes, they still hit,
they
bro.
Still hit.
But if I saw them my first time,
that fake
they
ass
probably
stuff,
wouldn't.
Man.
See, I don't think those are hit
Yo.
For me anymore.
And when she hobbling after, man, come
oh,
on,
see, yeah,
bro.
That thinking about
hits.
It, that don't hit the same for me now.
Oh, wow.
Did she start taking off all her body parts
man.
And shit?
Yeah, she start hopping to
that
her.
That shit
yeah.
kills me every fucking time, man. And the fucking swollen foot.
Yes. Yeah. Jim Brown.
That
like, shot me in my foot. Boop,
oh,
boop.
My God.
Let me get one rib.
Let me get a rib. Just put it in my hand.
Put it in my hand.
How much for one rib?
That I like shit when dude funny. Was walking down the street and he had the dead fish in his shoe and they was breaking. They was like, get your
old
ass.
My God.
No, he OG'd. Damn, how the fuck he take a shit with all this?
That's funnier. Friday is funnier than this. But if I had to really sit down and think about it, I guarantee you I can give you at least
now,
five.
Now, I would say it's probably personally my favorite, maybe top three or top five Eddie Murphy movies, Harlem Nights. But I'm trying to think, like, comedy all time, black? I don't know. I don't know if I had to like sit down and think.
So
about
what? So what does this film make like stand out? Is it like certain scenes that are just so memorable, and that's why you guys like?
Yeah, it's a lot of memorable scenes.
A lot of memorable.
The box,
and
the boxer stuttering, and Richard Pryor looking like like trying to help him out.
But you know what? The funniest part of the whole
stop shooting that little piece of shit.
Every time I'm in tears.
The fun and what. What was underrated about that scene was like him crying and be like,
What I thought was funny about that is because you felt it before he did it. Like, it's like, damn, this motherfucker keeps shooting that gun.
Right, he's gonna do it again. Pop.
And then he actually says it. It's like you knew it was coming. You felt it yourself. Like, nigga, stop shooting that gun. Because
he looked at him first, remember?
He did. Is he really shooting this gun?
Because they got these Tommy guns and shit.
Exactly.
And then he shoot this little pop.
You broke my nose, man.
Stop shooting. And then he shot his driver with the guy in the passenger seat just because man.
And then he apologized to him. I'm sorry for shooting.
He said, you made me kill my name? Jimmy or something.
But
Jimmy,
the funny thing is that before he shot the gun, he looked at them because they were unloading. And he looked at him. He was like, he looked for permission first. He was like, okay, well, if they shoot, I'm going to shoot too. Right, right.
That's really one of the funniest scenes on the damn. Everybody was talking about that scene. When that movie first came out, everybody was talking about that scene, man. That shooting scene.
I'll never forget because I was like, why is he shooting this little gun?
Everyone said that. Why is he keep shooting
So like you said,
gun?
You felt it before because you asked yourself the same question. It was like, why is he shooting
The setup was right. The setup was nice, man.
Yeah, man.
Now I fuck with this movie, man. I still think I could. Like I said, I never just thought about it. I know you asked the question, but I do think I could put it in my top five. Definitely, I could put it in my top 10.
So it's top.
I think it's top 10 easy. I never thought of it as a pure comedy.
Me neither.
Yeah.
So does that hurt it a little bit?
That's what hurts.
When it, as far as it being so many different stories
I think that's
telling
great.
In the film.
I mean, I think that's great. For Eddie Murphy, for this to be his, like, you know, director debut, like, for him to have all this crammed up in a movie like that, and just not to be completely a goofy comedy or, like, all serious drama. Like, I'm glad he added those elements into this movie. I think that's what made it great.
Because I think the thing is, like, when I'm watching it, like, I didn't think of it as a comedy, but some of those lines and some of the way that black people talk, it just sounded like it was very natural.
Exactly. Yeah. It was more natural. Like, Red Fox, it was natural. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You expect him to talk like that on a regular-ass basis.
Like, that whole crab table scene when they made him put them big-ass bites. Like, that shit seems so natural. Like, you can't see shit, man.
Have family members that talk shit like that.
Right.
So, you know, it just had comedic elements in it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because, you know, we all, you know people that are like that.
Yeah, so. I didn't look at it as a comedy. Yeah. Like I said, it just was relatable almost. Mm-hmm. Like, you knew somebody like that.
But I just never looked at it like it was a crime film either. I don't know.
Yeah,
crime films are not usually funny.
I don't know what I looked at it as.
Because it's so much in there, man. Like,
it was just like Eddie Murphy has a movie coming out. It's called Harlem Nights. So I was like, all right, cool. Let's watch it.
What did y'all think about Danny Aiello and his character? I thought he was the police. Phil Canton.
Yeah, Phil
Canton. The guy who kept on.
Yeah, I know, but what? I never. Who? What has he done since then?
Oh, he was in Do the Right Thing.
Yeah, he was Sal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like those are his two best roles in black film. But I thought he was funny because this is obviously black people versus white people, and I feel like he played that role. He always plays that role well.
Yeah.
And like
he makes you hate him.
Yeah. Even the scene wasn't funny. But I laugh every time he was like, "I see you guys with these nice cars and these
I'm living in a fucking hut." Because
it was like the whole reason why they want to shut y'all down is because they hating.
Yeah,
that's the whole reason.
Because this club, Sugar Way, is making more than that other
Exactly. They bring in what they said at 10-15,000 a week, which is probably inflation.
In 1930, this is 1938.
50 grand a week.
We're talking 1938 money.
Yeah, they were doing 15,000 and he wanted 10.
Yep.
Yeah, he wanted 10.
He got to die.
Yep.
Yeah, nah, he got to die.
Did they have to leave?
They had to.
because they burned the club down.
But I'm just saying, but they killed everybody.
It's 1930 something, bro.
Right.
Yeah, they're still black.
This dude, Richard Pryor character said he got judges on his payroll. Like, he had to break town.
But what I'm saying that because in that same.
And he had policemen on his payroll.
I think in that same scene, he was like, Eddie Murphy was like, it's not a matter how many people you shoot, it's who you shoot.
That's just Eddie Murphy being a hothead. Like, Richard Pryor character knew, this is 1938, bro. So he knew what to do once they executed their plan. Like, you had to get out of town. You had to. What in the way you gonna stay there?
Because remember, that's what he told him. He was like, man, there's no point in being dead at 27. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, you're supposed to be 80-something and dead with kids or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, live your life. So he was sitting down. He was like giving him the game. You know, he said, you want to run off and try to shoot all these people. You know, for them it was 1930. We're looking at it like it's 1930 and you have no power. Yeah.
That was a dope serious scene in that movie too, mm-hmm. where when he was talking to him about that, like he said, if they kill you, they might as well kill me. Like
I'm gonna kill them.
Yeah. Yeah, that shit was dope, man. Like, but they had to leave though. They had to.
Was this Richard Pryor's best role that you've seen?
Best role?
I wouldn't say that.
No. Which Way Is Up?
Because he plays
so many characters.
Yeah, a lot of characters.
Which Way Is Up is always my favorite.
I just thought this was a very interesting dynamic to him as far as in his acting career.
It was good. Yeah, but it wasn't like Which Way Up and all those. What it was?
Stir Crazy
and all that. Nah, he performed the shit out of those.
Yeah, and I think I read that he actually had MS at the time. Nobody knew he was sick when he was recording this.
Yep. It just wasn't as visible and bad at that point, but it was getting there. It was starting to get there, though. Cause I remember after that movie premiered and stuff, that's when you kind of started seeing a decline. Really, you really started noticing the decline of Richard Pryor after that movie came out.
Damn, so this was like, if this the film didn't get made, like, you wouldn't. This is a very special film,
and I'm
glad you picked this because I didn't realize how special. I knew it was a classic, but I didn't realize how special it was until I was rewatching. Yeah. Like, damn, some of these people.
Like, this was really, when you mentioned this whole Black Fit film, the Harlem Nights was the first thing that stuck out like a sore thumb for me.
Yeah, when I saw the the list, when you emailed it to me, I was like, dang, that's a good pick, or whatever. I don't know why I didn't think to even, it didn't cross my mind to pick it for some reason.
Well, I didn't know Eddie wrote and directed it.
Mm-hmm.
Which would make me think, why doesn't he do more of this? And the same thing we talked about with Denzel is like, those actors who we think, you know, can do anything because they're so talented, and they show it in different stages, but they never continue. Like, they don't do it more. Mm-hmm. Like, you see other actors who direct do that more, but most of the Black actors, they'll say like it's too much work, and it just.
Yeah, I can see that. But could you come into the game with a certain passion? If you come into a game with a passion to act, I mean, trying to make that transition to directing, like that could be a tough transition.
Mm-hmm. Because he was acting in a lot of movies at that point. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess he wanted to get his
check and just dip up out of there.
There's a lot to that shit, man.
It is, man.
Directing is no joke.
And writing, too. And I'm pretty sure a lot of that shit was ad-libbing, too. If you got
he wrote it, too?
Mm-hmm.
Written
and directed.
So what other funny scenes did y'all like about this? Or just scenes in general that stood out to y'all?
We'll be back after this quick break.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards. You're out here hustling, but you're also using the McDonald's app to have your favorites delivered to your door. That's hustling smarter. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app. At participating McDonald's. One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards. You're out here hustling, but you're also using the McDonald's app to have your favorites delivered to your door. That's hustling smarter. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app. At participating McDonald's.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I like the sunshine.
Sunshine was
like
good. Yes.
That's a famous fucking line.
And the way he looked. I mean, the way the camera.
I ain't never coming home.
And the way the camera panned on him when she was like, I got a girl that's pussy so good. If you threw it in the air, it'll turn. And then you see Red Rock said,
and then someone, I forgot who it was. Somebody was like, well, I don't want to try that.
Right.
I do.
Yeah, that was Richard Pryor. He was like, I don't want it.
I don't want that. Like, And then when Jasmine Guy character was calling for Eddie Murphy, Red, find some muscle. Uh-oh, they go that voodoo, bitch. I mean, it's a lot of shit, man.
And he probably just made that up.
That's what I'm saying. Right there.
And now you mentioned, like, I wonder how much improv was in this film. Because I'm sure, like, probably half the film was probably just like
I bet
them.
You that whole kitchen scene was fucking improv, but they were just yelling back and forth at each other.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
I could see
to.
That being fucking Richard, Red Fox, and Della Reese just going back back and forth.
I always remember that fight scene between Eddie and Della.
You want to fight?
You want to fight? You want to fight? All right, well, come on. I'm going to knock your ass out.
Yeah, he got dumb serious. He thought he had her when he ducked at her one punch. And he was like, hey, look, you ain't think I was quick like that, huh?
He was like, y'all cancers. But y'all, right. Yo, when you hit the uppercut, you're going to have to learn to respect me. Right. Oh, shit.
Man.
Another funny scene was when, after Eddie Murphy character killed Jasmine Guy, so he went to Richard Pryor. He was like, oh man, what's the how it go? Man, I killed her. Oh, you tore the pussy up. He was like, no, man. He said, I actually killed her.
And then he was like, damn, the pussy was that bad.
Oh, man.
So it's so many parts, man. Yeah, and like that's what we talk about, like just organic funny. Like that shit was not meant to be funny. Yeah. But it's just the way Richard Pryor delivered that shit, like
just deadpan as hell.
Yeah. Oh, you tore the pussy up, huh? No, man, I really killed her. Damn, the pussy was that bad? Like,
nah,
shit like that, man, was great, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that shit was great, man. I love that movie.
Yeah, Herbie Hancock did this music, too. Yes. Like, this movie was black.
Herbie owned, like, the 80s, man. Yeah. Because of those soundtracks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He did Rocket. That was on Beverly Hills Cop, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. He sure did do Rocket. Man. Yeah, man. Yep. Yeah, he sure did.
Yep, that was on there.
Damn.
Dude, what's the other one he did? It was another pop. Oh, shit.
I can't remember. Rocket is the one I remember definitely the most.
Everybody remember that shit.
Yep.
Yep.
Because I don't watch this as much as I did when I was younger. Mm. And, you know, I don't rewatch a lot of movies anyway. But this is the one movie you go to a black person's house is probably playing.
Yeah.
You know, or is maybe on HBO and you're going to watch it because it's on TV.
Right.
You don't have a lot of different options because we didn't have the internet like that. So, but you watch it, these scenes are very memorable. They become part of our life, you know, and they've carried on. Like, the tradition of some of these things still live today. And, you know, a lot of kids and stuff may not even know where this stuff coming from, if they're even saying it. Yeah. But, you know, this stuff is, I mean, it's history, man. It's historic. And we didn't know it at the time, but you know, it was dope seeing, you know, Eddie Murphy, who, you know, was at the peak of his game.
Yep.
You know, with Red Fox, Sanford and Son, so we already knew who he was. Everybody knew Richard Pryor. So that was an immediate draw. I think one of the most interesting things when I was just kind of reading up on it on Wikipedia is that a lot of people thought it was going to flop. And then the shit did like $95 million.
Yeah,
and
I think the budget was like 30
30 to 50, I could look, but yep. Laptop's out of power, but not out of power, but I need to preserve it. But it was a success. And, you know, I was talking to my wife. I think that's interesting because, you know, we talked about the critics, you know, tearing it apart. And we talk about what it did in the movies compared to their expectations. It's just that they didn't really know how to judge or critique black movies. Or they don't expect us to go flock to something like this because they may not see the appeal. Mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting when you think about it.
It is, actually.
Yeah.
I think that they look at us and they probably just assume that all we could do is comedy. Mm-hmm. And so when they pull this movie up, since it's not funny the entire way through,
right?
In their mind, it's just like, okay, the jokes aren't hitting.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, it's like, that's not a joke. Like,
right.
That's not a joke either.
Right.
White guy, that's not a joke. Because like, that's actually a serious moment.
Right.
But they are not taking it seriously because they're not used to black people making movies like that.
And they were talking about serious shit, too, in between the jokes. Like,
oh, of course.
Like the whole time, like y'all were saying, like what Richard is telling Eddie is like, there is a world that you're not really thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
You're just thinking it's just Harlem. But it's a lot bigger than that. And
we're not accepting the fact that you're getting older, you need to wear glasses. And, you know, him having to come like, yo, man, like, you need to wear your glasses. You can't fucking see. You
can't see the damn crack. You can't see the dice.
Yeah, it's over. He was like, man, I know what the numbers are before they even start rolling. You know
because
what?
He used to be that way. Because he was sharp like that. Yeah. So he just trying to tell him, like.
Man, you know what? Bad Boys pulled from Harlem Nights. He talked about the glasses, and he talked about the voodoo bitch.
Oh, Bad Boys 3?
Yeah, that's crazy. No, I'm just saying, that's I don't think that's a coincidence. Yeah.
I think that might be.
Coincidence?
Because I think because I think the glasses thing is kind of a common trope. Yeah.
It is, but like it's funny that he did that and the voodoo bitch line though.
But she really was a voodoo bitch though.
I know, but it's
but
like,
Jasmine Guy wasn't really a voodoo bitch, right? Was she?
Nah, no, she was.
He just said because she was Creole, so that's what.
Yeah, he played on that.
I don't know about that one, man.
And I thought I thought Martin in that movie was losing his sight throughout the whole series because he always remember the first was
but
about
they
driving.
Always talked about it though. It was from the jump.
Did they?
Yeah.
In the other ones, they I don't remember.
Oh no! Not in the other ones.
Oh,
in this one.
Yeah, but you're saying from the other.
Well, because like he always criticizes driving, and then the second one he criticizes shooting.
That's just
because
he drives slow.
It didn't have anything.
If he did, it wasn't intentional. Yeah.
You don't think it was intentional?
No, I don't think so.
I think it's just maybe
just so happenstance, really,
or just subconsciously from watching the movie and maybe just. Decided to write it in there. I don't know. I don't think that's intentional.
Look, who wrote Bad Boys 3? Probably a white dude, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was what's the dude?
It wasn't Bruckheimer, so
It wasn't Michael Bay, no.
It was
It was white guy.
I forgot his name.
White guy wasn't going back to Harlem Nights and taking things from Harlem Nights, I don't think.
Unless he wanted to cheat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because he didn't know how to write a black movie. Like, let me see how this is done.
Screenplay by Peter Craig and Joe Cornahan.
Yeah,
I heard somebody else wrote the jokes. Like, it was some white people that wrote some jokes.
That was Bad Boys 2. You talking about Seth Rogen? Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Really? He wrote the jokes Seth in Bad Boys 2?
Yeah. I remember I told you. Yeah, like, he wrote some of the jokes, because I think, what's the famous dude? Judd Apatow.
I don't think he would tell Martin there's some
It was that rat scene in the house. Remember, they were, like, pretending to be exterminators, and they were in the...
That seems like Seth Rogen shit.
He was saying, like, they was fucking like us. Like, that was...
Oh, okay.
Anyways.
But I was gonna ask y'all last few questions is we talk about how stacked this cast is. Mm-hmm. Have we seen another black film like this as far as even if it's not the same type of genre, but like it being like a stacked black cast that was just a great classic film?
The Best Man.
Which one, the holiday one?
As soon as he say that.
I'm trying to think.
I'm thinking too.
Where it's a stacked cast. I mean, because
like black though, right?
Yeah, like all because I mean, again, like we got Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, Della Reese, Red Fox, Robin Harris, Jasmine Guy, like all those people,
Arsenio
Hall, like all those people, Charlie Murphy, like they went on to have careers.
I feel like
have
there
we seen
is.
A film like that where
I just
it's
can't
like,
think of none right
yeah,
now.
I can't think of one.
I feel
either.
Like there is, but I just can't think right
you
now.
You mean like today or just like just
like
since
in,
that
recent,
movie
yeah,
came out?
Since yeah. Yeah, oh, since then, yeah, like since like yeah, since that movie came out, did that set the precedent for like other have other films hit that note or is this one just so
I can't
unique?
Because we would have to figure
Spike
out.
Lee hasn't done it.
I maybe mean, Jungle
he's
Fever.
Had, he's had like Denzel. He's had wait a minute,
but in one film,
nah. But that many people in one movie is the question.
Like that many black stars.
And then I would like to actually take all the guys that we know and put them side by side with like the current stars of today. Mm-hmm. Like who is today's.
If you had a lineup like.
Yeah,
like
Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy and so on and so on. What would that lineup be? I would exclude Charlie Murphy because he was just a throw in.
Yeah, and Charlie Murphy had a career, but he didn't really have a career.
Right,
exactly. You know.
Dave Chappelle show really put him on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Robin Harris was.
He was on his way.
He was supposed to be.
On his way.
So I think he was supposed to be one of the.
Yeah, he was on his way.
He was. But he still had those comedy specials and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he had like iconic moments that we all like recognized him for, even though in this movie, you know, he kind of, you know.
He was a dumb backseat.
Well, he wasn't really known like that yet.
Not yet, yeah. Because this was before House Party. This was before House Party.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, House Party.
He was doing comedy specials, right?
Yeah, he was doing comedy specials.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
But they weren't really that popular yet. Like, he wasn't like, I don't think he was a household name yet.
This is
before Bebe's Kids and all that.
Yeah, it is.
I know, well.
Because that's the comedy special that put him on was the Bebe's Kids ones, but I can't think of the name of it now.
Bebe's Kids. That's what it's called. I think it's called
the animation. No. The comedy special.
He's talking about the comedy. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, when he first brought up Bebe's Kids.
But we still had to know who he was. Like, I think I.
Yeah, because when we saw the movie, like my parents knew who he was. They were like,
I'm saying
shit,
he wasn't. Yeah. We knew who he was, but he wasn't like. He wasn't huge.
He wasn't Robin Harris, but it was like an up and coming actor or comedian that, like, we knew Robin Harris, we didn't know Charlie Murphy. I didn't know who the fuck Charlie Murphy
exactly,
was.
Exactly, yeah. Right. But what I mean is Robin Harris taking a back seat, I don't really think he had any reason not to take a back seat.
I got you.
He wasn't big enough for a front seat yet.
Right, right.
And there wasn't any room for him in the story
anyway. That's true, too. Shit, I'm about to go back and watch that damn I haven't seen that comedy special.
Man,
that
dude, I got to watch that.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
That dude was special, man.
He was on his way.
That was
and I'm glad he was in. I'm glad he was in House Party because that is something that you could just always go back to.
He was only 36 when he passed away too.
Damn, Lee.
Heart attack.
That's crazy. Yeah, it was a heart attack.
He looked older, didn't he?
He looked like he was 86.
Yeah, he was 36.
He must have been drinking and smoking cigars or something like that.
I'm sure he was.
Born in 53, died in 90.
He's a Chicago comedian too, right?
1990.
Yep, 1990.
It was right after this. Yeah.
It was right after when House Party came out.
Damn.
No, he's saying it was right after this movie.
Yeah. Final I'm just saying.
When did House Party come out?
90. So, like, probably like in the process after he finished shooting.
That's crazy.
He
36. He was
30. Yeah. That's crazy.
He lived a rough life.
Nah, he did. Mm-mm. But he looked like one of those people that, like, drink a lot and stuff because his eyes was always red.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. But what did he die from?
Heart attack.
Probably from living that life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Eating steak and smoking cigars. Mm-hmm.
Fucking all kinds of prostitutes and shit.
That's the dream, ain't it?
Yeah.
Till it ain't. Yeah, I just wanted to ask y'all that because I was looking and I'm like, I don't think there's another movie like this.
So did you look it up yourself?
The only thing I could think of is.
Yeah, look at your notes. What did you have written down?
The only thing I could think of is maybe like a Mo Better Blues.
That's what I'm saying.
Wesley Snipes.
But we're talking about after the fact, though.
Yeah, that came out in 92.
Wesley Snipes, Denzel.
That's what I was saying. Like, I feel like it was.
But I think it would take time for somebody to, like, create something like that. Like, is 3 years enough time for them to be like, look at Harlem Nights and that all-star cast and be like, oh, I want to do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to be able to.
Ken was on to something, like, with the Best Man shit. I mean, they weren't as big as. Movie stars as you know them, but that was like a quote unquote star studded because they had like Tay Diggs, all of those guys.
Yeah, Nia Long, Terrence Howard, Morris Chestnut.
Yeah, had a lot of people in it.
What's her name? Regina Hall.
Yep, all of them actually have had some pretty decent careers.
Sanaa Lathan. Yeah, that was.
I know. It's not the best movie in the world. I'm just saying that it was actually
Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. Maybe.
Nah, Best Man was a good one. If we had to try to put something against it,
so why don't you go back to Mo Better Blues then, since that's a better movie?
Because a lot of people like Best Man. A lot of people like Best Man.
No, yeah. No,
sure they do. Yeah. A lot of people like Tyler Perry films.
No, it's not the same.
No, it's
not
different.
The same. It's different. Yeah,
Wait, I'm not saying they're the same movie. I'm just saying you're saying a lot of people like them, so that doesn't really mean anything.
I'm saying the demographic that would
the
like
the type of people
that like Best Man isn't the same type of people that likes.
I mean, if you put volume of people that like versus volume of people that like, but the type of
that's
people
all
that
saying.
Like,
yeah, it's the type. Right. That's all I was saying.
Yeah, because I mean, Mo Better has Spike, Wesley, Denzel, Robin Harris, Sam Jackson, Charlie Murphy. Gus from Breaking Bad. I can't pronounce his name.
I can't think of his name either.
Giancarlo Esposito, I think.
Some non-black ass name.
But yeah, that was like normal cast for Spike Lee.
Yeah,
though.
that's why
like normal cast for him.
Yeah, because it don't feel special. Like we have people coming from. I mean, we have different age. Well, I don't know the age of them at the time, but
they played. They were in a lot of his movies, like all the time. Those were his go-to people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just realized that Gus was from Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
I literally just this moment realized that. When you said that, he was like, he's in Elvis films. I'm like, what film? Oh.
Yeah, he played the whacked out.
Holy shit. Yeah. He's bugging out.
I didn't know that until now.
What?
Really?
That's crazy. Wow.
That was the first thing I recognized when I seen. I was like, damn, Gus look young as hell.
I did not know that until now.
I didn't realize that.
That is crazy. Yeah. Y'all didn't know that.
Yep. Yep.
Gus is bugging out.
Wow. Yeah, man. He
in a lot of Spike Lee shit.
I
was in Malcolm X.
Yeah. Damn.
Shit, yeah.
I ain't know Gus got around like that.
Damn. How y'all didn't realize that?
I mean, I knew Gus was in Malcolm X. I don't remember him I didn't realize he was bugging out.
Like, he was the one like, hey, you know, you stepped on my
shit. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I don't pay attention to like actors like that, especially if you're not like an A-lister or the main lead. Then,
damn, bro.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, nah, I don't.
But school days, y'all remember him in school.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not.
What? Oh, you just realizing that too?
I
you
didn't forgot? Yeah, that was him. At school he was cool. Days. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't. Yeah. I let you, I did not realize that was Gus.
Yeah, and see, he was in Malcolm X too. Yeah.
For me, crazy. For me, Gus was just Gus. Yeah. I did not realize that that was holy
he's
shit.
Always been a dude a lot of stuff.
That's crazy.
Fucking do the right thing for
I
me.
I never knew that.
He played in Fresh.
Yeah,
he played in Fresh.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Right. He was always just yeah. Gus, yep. The Chicken Man.
Crazy, yep. Bro.
That's
exactly.
Crazy. Yeah. I never realized.
Not Mandalorian.
And now yep. Mandalorian, the dude on Mandalorian.
Yeah. Now. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy, dog.
He works.
He's still Gus. He's Gus on Mandalorian though. He's not. He's not bugging out on Mandalorian. He's Gus. He's fucking. That's crazy.
He was one of Spike's go-to mans. Outside of Denzel, he was like one of his main go-tos.
I thought those were two different people.
Since it's been a while since we had a cast like that, what was is the last question is like, is there any good black comedies now or like with recently that you would even rewatch nor nothing. Recommend?
Yeah, I can't. I haven't. In recent years, I cannot.
So Ride Along ain't on your list?
Nah, man, I can't even think of a recent comedy.
I don't even know what that is.
I mean, Bad Boys was funny.
That's true.
I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's actually a good yeah. a good one because Bad Boys was funny, but it was also situational. Mm-hmm. It was dramatic. So yeah, that's actually a good point.
That
yeah.
is actually a good.
That is.
If you hold it up to Harlem Nights, yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, that's good. But Bad Boys goes all the way back to the 2000s, man. Though.
Even like, the 90s. Not, shit, the 90s.
Yeah, 90s, yeah. 2000s. I mean, and even the current one that just dropped. I mean, we can't. I don't want to include that because you know
that's technically three different decades.
It is, but. What are the young cats doing? Like, where's the new breed of funny ass iconic comedies? Where are y'all Fridays?
They're on fucking TikTok and
yeah. That's what I was right. When you right. asked
the
that
movie's
question,
movie's just not good right. because there's some funny guys out there. Like that CJ Young Fly dude is funny as fuck.
Oh, DC Young
DC
Fly.
DC Young Fly.
Young
yeah.
Fly.
Oh, I'm thinking, you know that's what? How I start.
Hey, yo. There's so many in the it is a CJ Fly dude.
I thought you
so.
Was thinking of Marty McFly at that point.
Nah, it's a dude named CJ some Fly, whatever. So I got him confused. But yeah, he's actually pretty funny.
Yeah,
he
him and funny. Him yeah. and that whole 85 South crew.
But he couldn't carry a movie, I don't think.
They tried to
nah,
with How High
to.
Too.
Yeah, they tried. He's the one in How High too. Oh, but he Jesus. Has some funny moments though. Okay. It's just that you know it's the I think it's just the movies.
Yeah,
I
you can tell.
Think,
like,
I don't think it's a situation where he can't carry a movie. I think it just has to be the right role, the right director, and stuff like that, the right movie.
But you know what we don't have that I can think of right now. We don't have funny people that can actually really act.
Yes, that's
like,
what it is.
Eddie Murphy was funny as shit, but he could still act. Mm-hmm. Like he could
no,
do a dramatic
yeah, that's a good
role.
Point.
Yeah.
Like Richard Pryor could do a dramatic role.
That's
I don't know
point.
That we have any younger people. Like Kevin Hart can't do no dramatic. I don't.
He tried to
I
with that.
I don't think he can.
That one
but.
Movie
yeah,
with
Robert Krantz.
Walter White.
Yeah.
Oh.
Where he was Brian a paraplegic.
Krantz. Brian Krantz. Yeah.
Brian. Yeah.
So
Brian
was he? Krantz. He so he wasn't being funny.
There was some funny scenes, but it was mostly a serious.
Really?
Yeah.
It was like serious funny. Like it was like
oh
yeah
okay. Like he was being his caretaker.
Yeah, it was. I almost put it on my list, but it just didn't quite make it.
You know who could be though? Dave Chappelle could be if he ever wanted to be.
When he said who is this generation's Richard Pryor, I'm not trying to say he's comparison,
yeah.
but
stand up wise,
yeah,
oh, yeah,
that's
he
the
is,
that's
yeah.
the
it's
bar that a lot yeah. of people have like mm-hmm. as far as my generation yeah. and younger.
Yeah,
like
being he's controversial, the, being yeah. you know doing what the fuck he wanted.
And they both have really big white and black audiences. Mm-hmm. Like
I would
know,
say, Dave Chappelle's more
Dave
white
Chappelle
than black.
Played a serious role in some movies.
That's what I was just saying. I was
what
saying
was
that
it
was Fence. Was it Fence? Not Fences.
Or Stars Born.
Well, yeah. Star,
oh yeah.
He was, yeah,
was
that
he serious
was,
though.
The, yeah.
I thought he still was.
He was giving him advice.
No, that's
but,
true. That's
yeah,
true.
It was different.
Was
for him.
It was. Yeah. It was mm-hmm. Stars Born. Yeah, because that was good too.
Because I was waiting for it, but he never really did it.
But so, any last thoughts of Harlem Nights?
Oh, well, I mean, wonderful movie. I'm glad that Eddie Murphy told the story of, like, them beating out the man, you know what I'm saying, outsmarting the man, you know, before
that's
they...
That's how black movies should be.
Yeah,
written.
Like...
That's what I was thinking
about
that.
I thought that was so
end.
Dope. I think that was so dope that you just see them outsmarting him. Like, he really was plotting. They was 10 steps ahead of Calhoun. They was really 10 steps ahead of him the whole time, and it was, like, dope to see them, like, win. And like just skip town with all their money and just and
well, it was a million. It was more than what they thought it was gonna be. It was $1 million, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was more. It
I was
more
gonna
than
say Hoodlum's kind of like that.
Kind of like what?
Like just a black like the black person kind of winning as far as I remember. Didn't that his crew like?
Yeah, but he lost a lot. He lost some people in the process though. But
yeah, because they ain't
not like Harlem Nights.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, not like Harlem.
Like Mike said, nobody really lost on their side.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, Harlem Nights. It was like. Everybody. They plotted that shit from the beginning. So sure. I think that's one thing I love about the movie. It's like, damn, they really outsmarted everybody and they got away. Like, they got them. Like, the cop, they put the cop in the damn safe and shit. Like, I mean, it was just like they outsmarted everybody.
That was a funny part, too.
Yeah, like, he needed to breathe.
Not like,
and then he started breathing after he left. He was like, so like he was done. Yeah. Like everybody was done. Like that shit was brilliant, man. I like the way
so
how
they
planned that.
Queen of Slimmers, then.
So yeah, that shit was. That's what I love about the movie. That's my final thoughts.
Yeah, don't
that
let
shit.
Lena Waithe remake this shit.
Right.
She reversed the whole fucking thing.
Especially taking place in 1930s. Like to see them went. Like that shit was dope. That shit was dope.
I like it. Like, I appreciate how well it held up. Mm-hmm. And because, like, when you, if you were obviously around the time this movie came out, looking back on it years later, it still hits you because you remember when it came out. But for me, watching it, like, years removed, and then, like, I can still pass this on to someone else, and I feel like they'll get the same reaction. It's the same thing, like, with Friday or, like, some of the other comedies. It's like, these are the ones, like, no matter what, even though it's a 90s or a late 80s film, it's still gonna hit.
Y'all like this one? If you had to, this one, a Boomerang.
Damn, that is a very good question.
I think Boomerang for me is just a more fun watch because it's more of a comedy than this is. But this is probably a better. I don't know.
Yeah, you had Martin there going off. You had like,
David Alan Greer. He was Holly Berry, fine ass. Yeah. Robin Gibbons.
Yeah,
like you saw blacks as executives and not like something stereotypical and shit like
Grace
that.
Jones Grace Jones, Jones. Jones has most iconic.
Yeah.
I don't. That's a good one, man. I don't know.
That might be your other movie you're talking about, like after Harlem Nights, like. Remember, you were like, what's another movie that had iconic?
Yeah.
Okay. Boomerang would be another one.
I think Boomerang had a better story.
But then it's around the same time.
Boomerang had a better story.
Yeah. It did.
So I think it will hold up.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, because it wasn't, I don't think it was funnier than Harlem Nights, but story wise, I like
know,
it.
I don't know, man. Boomerang was funny.
Man, with the feet, with Lila Rashad's feet.
Man.
Oh, my God.
Don't do it, girl. Don't let him do it to you.
Tisha Campbell, ghetto ass? Oh, man. We all knew a Tisha Campbell like that. Yeah. I knew a chick just
like
that.
Like I said, Martin has some joints in
there. Yeah.
And that's why, like, I appreciate Eddie Murphy because most of his films, you can see, like, oh yeah, remember this other dude who was bigger, like 10 years later from that. Like Eddie always put somebody else.
No, what's the fucking soundtrack?
Oh, yes.
Got even add on the soundtrack.
The soundtrack even brought it back.
Yep.
Yeah,
and amplifies it even more.
All right, that was our review for Harlem Nights. Let us know what y'all thought about this film. Is it a great rewatchable? What other black films have? A stacked cast like this and that y'all want to recommend for us to watch as well. I see the recommendations. They got House Party, The Watermelon Women, Set
the
It Off.
What?
The fuck is that?
Yeah, somebody. It's
somebody fucking with us.
That's probably Johnny Boyce, racist ass.
They gotta be fucking with that. I've never heard of that shit.
It's from Watto Origin Story from the Reddit thread. He recommended that. It was directed by Cheryl.
He trying to piss me off.
Yeah. What'd you say it was called? The Watermelon Women?
Yeah. It's a black woman who is also LGBTQ, and it's on Amazon Prime.
It came out in 1996.
Oh, it's real?
Yeah. They Set It Off, Hollywood Shuffle. So, yeah, we're going to have a lot more to discuss when it comes to
Hollywood Shuffle. Wow. This looks whack. I will say that every black person should watch Harlem Nights. Every black person should watch Harlem Nights. That's my closing thoughts.
I agree with that as well. Well, that'll do us for us this week. We out. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.